Well, the boys are back again this week. Jeremy's still alive. We have no Joe Robinson corrections. And we're joined once again by the wonderful comedian Eric Kutravi. Do us a kindness and drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. We greatly appreciate it. It means the world to us and costs you absolutely nothing. But without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for the continuation of House of a Thousand Corpses.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches.
He's been my friend for at least 20 years, and he did a little local broadcast talking about wrestling. Nice. I forget which channel. It was like AM or something, and I called up, of course, as Vietnam Tom, one of my characters. And
give him a little Vietnam Tom. Yeah, give him a little spice.
Give it to me.
So I was talking as Vietnam Tom. I'm like, yeah, I really like talk radio. and Justin knows exactly who I am, and there was no question as to what character I was, and he's like, the only thing is I only like the Jews on the radio. Of course, they cut me off. Like, okay, all right, yeah.
Can I just say I love how Quality Time always begins with just a dash of racism,
just a smidgen,
just enough in there that, you know, we might have to delete some tweets in the past.
I just let them ride, because listen, the people that are offended by this, They're not going to be offended at it by me doing that. They'll find it at this point.
The best part is the Vietnam Tom can talk about race and make it sound racist even when it isn't racist, which makes it funny. So
I like how this character has a whole background too. Like, the thing you got to understand. Yeah. I see you in the actor's studio. The thing you got to understand about Vietnam Tom.
Sean Penn, I'm thinking of doing a character named Vietnam Tom. Can you tell me, give me some direction? Well, I played a surfer who was on stoned all the time back when I was young. I'm Sean Penn, thank you.
Sean Penn, British?
Like, yes, I'm Sean Penn.
Is he? I don't know.
I was married to Madonna.
I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah, you're right. That's a welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast,
Squality
everyone.
Time.
My name is Eric Woodworth, your host. And
our power is racism.
I'm joined by my
Jesus fucking
my
Christ.
my ne'er do well brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Character bling bling bling. Yeah,
you're really phoning this one in. Okay,
I'm
I got
drunk.
You.
I'm tired.
I don't even give a shit.
I'm just trying to stay awake.
You know what? We really appreciate you being upfront with us at the start.
Yeah,
that you're just dialing
yeah.
this shit in.
I think I'm close to a stroke tonight. I'm getting a little bit of a headache, and that usually means I'm going
to
die.
I did have to give Jeremy a baby aspirin to get ready for this next show, because we record back to back. And
I've never seen somebody eat a whole handful of them.
Yeah, that like didn't want to die.
Like
right?
At the end of every episode, I drink an entire jar of pickle juice. Yeah. So
get that pickle back, man. You got to have a pickle back.
Enough salt to kill a baby easily.
And we're joined by a returning guest, comedian, artist, Eric Kutravi. Eric, thanks so much again for joining us.
Not a problem. You know, it's been a long week. It's been a long, arduous journey getting back here to Quality Time. I am so
welcome
happy
back,
to be here.
Eric Navarro.
Yeah, there you You're the best. You're the best Eric we've seen, yeah.
Actually, what was it? Speaking of that.
And if you date my woman, I'm going to kill you.
What was it? I was doing, what was it, Zissimo's a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I went to the host because I'd just done a show there, and they're like, we're doing an open mic afterwards. I'm like, I drove all the way out here. I'm going to just see if I can do a quick 5-minute spot just to get it in. I remember I went to the host. I'm like, hey, I'm Eric. Is it possible I can get on the show tonight? Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, definitely. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And then she starts asking me like questions about comedy. Like, she's like, so what do you think is like the best way to do this? I'm like, uh-huh. I don't know. It's your room. Do it the way you want.
You know, explore the space.
And then she looked at me closely. She's like, wait, are you Eric Navarro?
That's such a good bit.
I was like, no, I'm Eric Kucharavi. And she's like, oh. And then like immediately the interest changed.
Immediately your list. You went from number 4 in the lineup to 12.
Oh, no. I got signed up to be first. And I'm like, so I still get to go first. She's like, yeah.
Immediately she just shined a flashlight in your face. End of night. So
another deception.
It's a good bit.
I get it. You know, I'm a bi-spectacled, bearded, dark-haired man in the comedy scene. There's a lot of us.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, but I definitely have enjoyed getting in your van a couple times.
Hell yeah.
And the sex, the rape was awesome.
Okay, well, there we
go. There we go.
Jeremy's done it. He's done a rape reference already.
You made me more hot when you wore the clown makeup.
Now you brought it back with clown makeup. Now, see if you're... If you're going to rape, it better be with clown makeup.
Just insult the guest, you bastard. Just because he has a van and rapes people.
We have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson. Do you have any corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
And I'm saddened to say, we have no Joe Robinson.
What week? What kind of song are you going to hear instead?
Oh, Joe Robinson, corrections this week. New wife, cuz, but we need you now more than ever before.
Your wife.
So when you get a minute, just text me the shit that keeps us honest with all of the glitz. Oh, yeah, now go. Flick it, Joan.
Is it weird? I actually genuinely like this song. That's some good shit.
No Joe Robinson corrections this week, guys.
Because he doesn't care.
He does. He really took offense that we did that. But, you know, we did back-to-back episodes, and I already did all the ones that I had. So,
you could at least correct our grammar.
Yeah. Where are you at, Joe, you fucking twat? Give us the goddamn corrections. Anyway, that's it. Are we ready to get into tonight's topic and drop right back in, boys?
Let's do it.
We're getting right back into the House of 1,000 Corpses, the classic by good old Rob Zombie, musician extraordinaire. By the way, did you know Rob Zombie, how he started out his career?
How did he?
Did he work at Haagen-Dazs?
He did not work at Haagen-Dazs.
He's not from D.C. Rollins. That's how D.C. musicians get started. Yeah. They start at Haagen-Dazs.
He had the oddest job. His first job was a set designer for Pee-wee's Playhouse.
I've heard that.
Yeah. It's a strong start. So every time you see Cherry just talking up and down, Rob Zombie built that.
What's something like, I was reading something about this movie, and they were saying, like, first off, the entire movie, like the house itself, that is a set piece from Burt Reynolds' The Littlest Whorehouse with Dolly Parton.
Oh, yes. I didn't know
that. So they had access to like the lot, and they said like when they were in between takes, they would go explore, find all these old set pieces. He says they have photos of them playing in the Jaws shark.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because they had
Hell
access
yeah.
to it at night. It was sweet.
I always wonder where like some of those cool movie props are. I don't know why this pops in my head, but we did an Alien episode a long time ago, like almost a year and a half ago, with Tommy Simbazo. Shout out. But you know the giant fucking engineer guy that they show in the original Alien, right? Like that big fucking thing. The night that they filmed that, interesting, it's built a little bit smaller, and he actually had his kids, like, Ridley Scott put his kids in astronaut suits to, like, look at it, so it looked like it was bigger in the
shot. That's brilliant.
And that night, somebody left a cigarette burning, and it burned completely to the ground after they did those shots. So that thing doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, that's such a bummer. Because that gave such an inspiration to a terrible fucking movie.
Yeah. There's a whole Prometheus film that was based on it, which, honestly, I don't hate Prometheus. And we'll get into that sometime.
I will fight you on it. I hate that movie.
You know what? There's two things that I get a lot of shit for. I'm an apologist for two films, Star Wars Episode One and that. I don't know why I like both of them, but I do. I fucking love them both.
Wow. Okay, I'm going home. I have made, quality timers, I've made a mistake. I have made a mistake.
There's some bad parts, but listen, there's also some gems. So where we were in our story is these four teens that are actually Fat Chris Hardwick.
Are they teens?
I don't know. They can't be teenagers.
They don't. It looks like one of them's going to call home to check on the kids.
They're supposed to live with their parents, right? So they're allegedly teenagers, but one is Fat Chris Hardwick, who has a full beard, and Ryan Wilson, who's trying to look like he hasn't lost his hair. He has like a comb over. It's not good, right? But now they're trapped at the Firefly farmhouse. Their car's broken down, and they're about to have Halloween dinner at the estate. So they head into the dinner table, and they're all given these really creepy Halloween masks that look like they're made out of paper mache, and they're
definitely some Mike Myers looking shit.
Yeah, they look like basically the faces from that Twilight Zone episode Beauty's in the Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah, I love that episode.
Right? Oh, it's fucking gross.
So good.
And then Tiny enters the room, and Tiny is a giant fucking gnarly giant who's wearing a Mankind mask who walks in.
You know what movie he was in later?
Big Fish.
He was. Yeah. He was a big fish.
He was also on a lot of episodes of the Howard Stern Show back in the 90s. Yeah. He was featured a lot.
Sasquatch.
He's a big gnarly. He has giantism, and not like, it's weird. They always like, you're supposed to be scared of giants. Actually, they're horribly disabled people that can barely move around, right? Most of the time, like, this guy couldn't do things at all.
Andre the Giant was the top tier one. Like,
but if you watch him by WrestleMania 3, he's barely moving around. I don't know if you saw him get slammed. That ruined his spinal cord for the rest of his life.
My favorite audiobook series is the Andre the Giant reads books, and his reading of Little Women is probably the best.
Could you give us a little reading from Little Women?
They were no longer little girls. They were little women. So,
hey, could you?
Can you please for like just start doing that? Yeah, I will buy that audiobook.
Jeremy, could you give us some French poetry by acclaimed Frenchman?
There is not a little girl of a tree as lovely as a tree. It's where they swing, and you will know they're giant and swing.
Okay.
I will get you all cold again. I will destroy you.
Oh, that poor man.
I've heard that he could drink like a 72-pack of beer in a single sitting.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah.
I like when, like, Andre the Giant, if you ever look at, like, a picture of him, he holds a beer and it looks like a juice box in his hand. Like, it looks like a goddamn fucking Capri Sun in his giant mitt. Ugh, it's so awesome.
Can you imagine, like, a drinking contest between him and Vern Troyer?
Where he drinks the beers that filter through Vin.
Oh, I thought you meant
he just holds him up like a baby in his single hand, so.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, he drinks Vern Troyer. Like, that's the...
just pop this baby. Ah!
takes the head off and drinks from the neck blood. So
I don't know why. Is Vern Troyer still alive?
No, he super just died. Dead.
Okay,
super dead.
I thought so.
They buried him in a shoebox.
Yeah, they're in heaven right now, cosplaying as Master Blaster. Hey, look, me and Andre the Giant, we're Master and Blaster. That's good stuff. So, Mama gives him a little background story on Tiny.
You have to forgive Tiny. He can't hear so much. That poor baby. It's his daddy's fault. Well, I mean, Earl wasn't a bad man. He never hit me or nothing like that. One day, he just up and went devil on us all.
What happened?
Well, he tried to burn down the house.
As one does.
Just like David Byrne.
And Tiny was sleeping in the basement room with the fire started.
Burning! Damn it!
But Tiny was badly burned. His ears were destroyed and most of his skin.
Is that why he wears the mask?
Yeah. My baby boy gets shy around new people.
So he doesn't make the children cry.
But he'll warm up to you. Especially the girls. Oh, he's a real lady killer.
Oh, God. Like I said last episode, there are so many red flags. I know everyone says in a movie, they're like, why are you going? Like, it's so obvious. This is just...
I'm a head out.
And when I say lady killer, I mean he likes to drag him naked through the woods.
As giant mangled fucking hills have eyed mongoloids are apt to do.
I was lucky enough to meet Matt McCrory back in the Chiller Theater. I think it was maybe 2005 or something.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he just looks really uncomfortable the way he moves. And of course, I got to ask him a question like, does it hurt for you to like music? He's literally almost spoke in such a low register that it was hard to understand. No, it is not hurting me at all. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, I only speak in 808 drums.
It's like dogs are like coming from miles away from hearing this guttural sound and everything. So.
I'm sorry, we can only play his answers by speeding up the audio poster.
So, Baby has yet to join all the folks downstairs. She's upstairs getting ready and in front of one of the tied up cheerleaders.
You're going to miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit. I mean, you ain't done fuck all to cheer me up since you got here. Give me a B. Give me an A. Give me a B. Give me a Y. What's that spell? What's that spell? What's that spell?
Baby?
You're damn right.
She just starts playing with a doll on top of her. It's pretty creepy.
I gotta say, for the entirety of the movie, this is Sherry Moon's true high points acting.
I think what would have maybe helped this is to have a little flashing thing on the screen that says director's wife during her scenes. So
okay, also something I remember, like I noticed watching this, how many minutes into the movie are we at this point?
Roughly a half hour, I'd say.
This is her like fourth costume change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like women can never decide what they want to wear. You know, it's true whether you're a psychopath that's ready to cut some people up or you're just going out in the hills, you know?
There was that scene down the base. She's wearing like the weird yoga pant thing. And then you turn around. And then she's wearing like a weird 19th century like ghost child gown.
Pretty sure they're pajamas.
Yeah.
Pajamas, whatever you want to call them.
So
hairbrush and shoes for a case.
Downstairs, old Fat Hardwick goes and asks about Dr. Satan, and at the same time Otis comes in and says he knows all about what you want to know about. So Otis decides to tell him.
Now, I don't know who told you your fairy fables about Dr. Satan.
We heard it from Captain Spaulding up the road at the end.
That old bitch hog don't know shit. He tells his cute little tattletale, sell his junk. He don't sell no Yankee boys, no truth.
Yeah, but I mean, something happened, right? I mean, it had to be based on some real incident.
What are you, Jimmy Olsen? Cub reporter for the Daily Asshole?
Can you throw me a towel? Can you pause this and throw me a towel?
Hold on.
Better you leave here with your head still full of kitty cat.
Totally not for a minute.
Well, I really would like to know.
Hey, he'd really like to know. Enlighten him. Well, I bet you'd stick your head in the fire if I told you you could see hell. Meanwhile, you're too stupid to realize you got a demon sticking out your ass singing,
Holy, Holy Miss Moly,
got me alive.
Not great writing at this point in the movie.
What a good bit. Yeah. Well, we're about to get into some of the best writing. It's coming up in just a second.
Oh, yeah.
Otis, the clock strikes the midnight hour, making it officially Halloween.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Grandpa comes up, and it's fucking showtime. And God damn it, if this isn't my favorite thing to talk about in this film, I've waited a whole episode just to get to this. Here's Grandpa's comedy special.
Oh, God.
There's over. Ladies and germs, it's showtime!
Twisted Metal 2!
So, all right, Grandpa gets up and he goes, basically, it's open mic night for Grandpa. And how many times I've seen this act?
I wrote that down in my phone to be like, this is like every open mic you go to. There's one guy who does this bit.
And he's this old and he loves saying the word pussy. And goddamn, does he double down. Let's hear a little bit of Grandpa's special comedy show.
Eat your mom's pussy! I'll eat dinner in your face! Starts licking and chomping on her pussy, and she's screaming and yelling, and she just. Ah! No, the old battle axe at home's about to crush my bones! Ah! Would you be quiet? You're gonna wake up Grandma!
He's crushing it.
You can catch Hugo's Netflix comedy special drop next month.
God, Grandpa Hugo fucking lights the crowd afire. But by the way, the one thing I love about this is while everybody else is disgusted, fat Chris Hardwick is laughing at every judge. Fuck yeah, do the pussy bit again. Hell yeah. That's so good.
Can I reference this actor to say maybe he wasn't like a bad actor in like say a character way,
mm-hmm.
but like character actors that haven't been in a good role for a long time. I'm gonna use like Rick James as an example. Like Rick James, once he was brought back into the spotlight with Chappelle, he probably just got enough money so he could start doing a lot of cocaine again, and then instantly dies. So
yeah, he died like what was it? This was made in 2000. He died like 2002, like a year
before this even came out.
Yeah, 2003 is when this dropped. Actually,
like,
so
man, I'm doing this Hollywood big film. I'm gonna do a shitload of cocaine.
Honey, do you imagine that he came home and he was just like, "Honey, I know this stand-up comedy has been a long, hard, arduous journey.
I'm making it,
Clementine. Let me tell you." I did my pussy jokes for Rob Zombie.
I want to make
and he loved him. He wants to put him in the movie.
I want to make it big, like this new lead singer from Sublime. So I want to make it big.
Not only do they like my jokes, they got my hardcore band demo too.
So Baby then comes out and she puts on a little show by singing Betty Boop. She's dressed with like some weird fucking lipstick and it's fucking kind of creepy.
Again,
but
it comes back to my Rocky Horror Picture tie-in. This is very Rocky Horror Picture.
Very, very Rocky Horror.
Except she's not a tranny.
But she gets a little too frisky with one of the boys, and Denise gets up and punches Baby in the face, and then she brandishes a switchblade and says, "I'll cut your fucking tits off," which I'm like, this is kind of hot.
Okay, where did that knife come from?
Let's see where this goes. Where were you hiding that, Baby? So,
well, back in the 70s, dresses actually had pockets in them. So,
You know, they say that like some progress, it's something we don't really know about. They think like the 70s was a repressive time, but I mean, pockets in the 70s on dresses.
Yeah.
We've maybe taken a step back in this in our modern age, okay?
Hey,
we need to revisit.
Hey, Dr. McCoy, is that a phaser? Are you just glad to see me?
I swear, they took pockets off dresses just so they could sell pocketbooks, okay? That's what I'm getting at. It's capitalism, boys, and we need to stop it. Pockets for ladies'
the
dresses.
Evils of capitalism, I will put an end to. Nobody will make more than $1,000 a year.
I don't know why. I know you brought up Bernie, but have you ever heard this guy? There's this comedian that does the best Bernie Sanders.
Better than Michael Savage?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it kills. Bernie Sanders. Let's see here. Have you ever heard this? It's 21 seconds, but I'm going to pull it.
I'm going to piss your pants, maybe. Maybe shit and cum. Just like those bankers on Wall Street. The top 1% is stealing all the piss and shit and cum from middle-class working people.
I don't know why. I fucking love that so much.
You're going to wake up grandma.
Gonna cry, maybe.
I'm going to need you to forward that to me because that is incredible.
Just search up Bernie Sanders gonna cry. I swear it's the top one. It has like 100,000 views. You can't miss it.
Oh, fuck.
Gonna piss your pants, baby. So, all of a sudden, Rufus bursts in. That's the guy who's wearing the weird bear thing and also who's driving the tow truck. And says that the car's ready. They immediately go out to leave but find out that the gate is locked. Old Rain Wilson gets out to unlock it, but the scarecrows outside start to come to life outside beat him to death.
Who names their kid Rufus? Do you just name a child Rufus if you hate them?
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, it's like if you meet a girl named Blanche, you know, you just fucking hate her.
Yeah, if you're Rufus, you can only be two things. One, a professional wrestler, or two, George Carlin from the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Like, those I was thinking, only two. Look, honey, we can name the kid Rufus or Scumfuck. Well, it's a hard decision, honey. We both hate him.
So, these scarecrows come off, and you find out one is actually Otis, who's beating the shit out of old Wilson, and then Tiny comes and rips the girls out of the backseat of the car. It's a huge problem, and they basically take them back to the house. Now, we get this thing that flashes across the screen that says, it's now Halloween Day. So we're living at Halloween Day now, and Denise's dad calls his buddy cop in, I guess, this part of Texas where they're living. Basically, the cop is going to go fucking ruffle some feathers and see what he can find out to track down his daughter. Now, meanwhile, back at the Firefly camp, Denise is waking up to a nightmare that is Otis.
Shut your mouth! I said shut your fucking mouth! Listen, you Malibu middle-class Barbie piece of shit, I'm trying to work here. Work? You ever work? Yeah, I'll bet you have. Scooping ice cream to your shit-heeled friends on summer break. Well, I ain't talking about no goddamn white socks with Mickey Mouse on one side and Donald Duck on the other.
So confused by this.
Bodies come and go, but this blood is forever. Now, I'm gonna remove your gang. But if you make so much as a fucking peep, I'm gonna cut you like a pig and make you eat your own fucking intestines. You got me?
Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this?
Doing what? Messy up your day?
Where's Bill?
Where's Bill?
Is he okay?
He's a good guy. Oh, he's been a great help to me, a real blessing. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better specimen. You don't know what kind of dry spell I've had here. Total blind, total blind. Bill.
Can I see him? Can I see him? Please.
Let's go see. Behold! Fish boy!
Oh my god!
So.
Oh my god, no! No! No, this can't be real! This can't be real! This can't be real! This can't be real! This can't be real!
Oh, it's real.
He's turned
real
Bill.
As I want it to be, Mama.
into this horrible sideshow attraction that will probably be featured at Captain Spaulding's Monsters. Old Mr. Wilson is now half man, half He's a merman.
He's a merman.
He's a merman now. Yeah. He's
he will
got
soon
the fucking
be
fish.
Submitted to Smithsonian for proof of evolution.
Yeah. Yes.
So. I mean, I just want to comment that... the craftsmanship was impeccable.
It really was
it really
good.
It was.
I didn't hate it. I didn't. And by the way, I don't like Denise's naysaying of art, okay?
Yeah.
If anything, she's being rude to Otis right now.
I feel like if he was in a different time, he would have opened up an Etsy page and been very successful.
Welcome to Etsy Otis. Otis Etsy. And here see my amazing things. I made this half man, half ostrich. His name is Eric Woodworth. He has tiny baby legs with a huge man body.
I think we all were waiting for that tiny bit of crop top when he's like, Raiders block, total block.
Oh, Leatherface, you done messed up my Sonny Bono wig. Oh,
you get that bitch, huh? You get that bitch.
Shout outs to our previous episode. Check out Texas Chainsaw Part 2. It's in the top 10 most downloaded for us. So
I'm going to go download it.
Lizard Man.
Yeah. So the cops show up at Spaulding's place to track down the kids, and the cops are played by Walter Goggins, who is famous for the Shield and the Hateful Eight, and a bunch of great character actor.
He always plays a greasy little shit.
Yeah, he always plays somebody who's like you don't know that he says the N word, but you probably guess that he does, right? Like
my last buddy film is the ultimate buddy film, where even though he's still a scumbag, hateful. A person from the South, he's still buddying up with Samuel Jackson at while they strangle a woman together. So,
so he's not all bad.
So much better than 48 Hours, you know? So,
you want to, fun fact about Walter Goggins, every film he gets an extra tooth. That's why he has such a nice smile.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
There are too many teeth in his dumb fucking mouth.
Fucking what a piece of shit.
Casting director just looks at him like, man, you look like the biggest white trash, hateful, you know, southerner we've ever seen. So
I always loved him as the piece of shit Shane from the show The Shield. I always loved that. He's a real piece of shit in that show.
He looks like an illustration from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Wish to life. Really does.
And behold the rapist. This is what the rapist looks like. The man who loves rape.
You know the cops show up at his place at least once a month. Like, we're going to need... You just got to do the lineup. We know it's not you. Just...
Now, we're going to do these scenes in the movie. You're going to be running after a woman totally naked. And you're going to be doing that for days on end. Until the guy, Dirty Harry, comes along and shoots your groin off.
And the other cop is played by one Tom Towles, Jeremy, who plays Officer George Wydell. Give us some other roles from Tom Towles.
What are you talking about, you bunch of yo-yos?
There you go.
Right, Night of the Living Dead 90, and of course... what was his buddy? What
plays
his
Otis.
Name? What was his
plays
name in Henry? Was Otis?
Otis. He's Otis.
And of course, Otis is named after Otis from Henry.
There you go.
As Bill Moseley's character.
Actually, all the characters were named after Marx Brothers characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spaulding, Otis, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was told that Otis was because of the Henry.
Yeah, so Henry Lee Lucas, the real-life serial killer, Henry Lee Lucas, his accomplice was Otis Toole, and Otis is also
Henry.
A tie-in.
Oh, I have seen Henry. It's great.
Oh, good.
So it's another tie-in, and this is the actor who played Otis Toole in Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's all right. A big tie-in. Listen, maybe Rob Zombie isn't as big of an idiot as we all thought, or maybe this is just a happy accident and we're all making way too much of it. Who knows?
Yeah, we're going into different levels conspiracy for arguably one of the worst movies ever made.
Probably the greatest, as an actor, the greatest rapist of his own sister.
That is true.
Movie.
I like it. Put him on the Mount Rushmore.
Of rapists.
Yeah, there you go.
He's like that guy that played Rorschach.
Yeah.
No, Otis, don't rape your sister.
All right.
That's wrong. All right. Let's go kill somebody else together.
I'm not going to do it. You're an idiot.
So after questioning Spaulding, he draws the deputies the same map that he drew them, and they go down the road, also meeting up with the father of Denise. Meanwhile, back at the house downstairs, we see Tiny checking in on the other girl wearing a shirt that says "cheap ass Halloween costume," which I don't know why I love this so much. Is that he's that Tiny is just such a piece of shit, and he's eating a bowl of cereal out of a fucking dog dish. And did you guys catch what the name of the
Agatha Crispies?
Agatha Crispies.
I actually paused the movie and looked at.
So
you ever see something so crazy you have to call somebody else? They're like, babe,
you gotta check this out. Agatha Crispies. Shut your fucking mouth. So
it's as good as Fruit Blast that you can hide a gun in. So
he starts sloppily eating them. She pleads to Tiny to let her go, and Tiny, with seemingly no problem at all and barely an inconvenience, just lets her go almost instantly. But as she's trying to escape, Otis comes out of nowhere and goes, so he's not having it. He ties her back up and then gives Tiny this look like, you fucking this up for all of us right now, Tiny? And Tiny gives one of these things like, I'm eating my Agatha Crispies. She's ruining my Crispies.
Otis has the energy of a manager who has to just pull a double
all the time.
He's like, God damn it, I gotta do this now.
You know how hard it is to keep this fucking shit show alive and you can't keep this bitch just tied up? That's all I ask.
Well, they edited out the chase scene where she's running and she makes it all the way to the town, and Tiny's only made it like 20 feet from the house. So
the cops then find the car that the kids were in, and they open up the back and find one of the dead cheerleaders with something carved into her leg. They're like,
it says, eat it, Joe's.
I'm just going to go with this. I think something's wrong with the boys and girls. I think there's something wrong with them. So,
and the worst thing is they just stare there for like a half hour. They don't even do anything. They're just staring at a naked girl.
So meanwhile, fat Chris Hardwick is still in trouble back at
Fardwick.
The house. Fardwick is in dire need of some help. Baby starts cutting off pieces of his hair every time he answers a wrong question that she poses. Then she poses one final question to him.
Okay, one more. You get this right, I'll let you go. If you get it wrong, you are fucked. Okay.
Who's stellar acting.
I don't know. Marilyn Monroe.
No, Betty Davis. Sorry, you lose.
And she proceeds to scalp him right on the spot.
That's the worst game ever. He knows absolutely nothing about her.
You got to know subjective questions, okay? That's the name of the game. You want the game that pays, you got to know shit about the show that you're watching. So
now other people will call in while I make this guess to see if you agree with the other callers.
Watch Jeopardy just trip back and be like, all right, for 300 points, reasons why my kids won't call me anymore.
It's a horse having sex with me. Thank you. So the cops meet up with Denise's dad, and they go out to head out to the outlying farms to search around. They head straight for the Firefly house, because why not check the house that has baby dolls fucking stapled all over to the front of it? It
why
seems
not?
Like the first place to check. Good police work.
That cop was so unfazed.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, you know, everyone's decor is different. It's the 70s.
I like that they pull up and then they don't show that scene where the dad's just like, oh, do you think this is where my fucking children are? Do you think this is where the place with the fucking dead dog that's hanging from the center of here? Yeah, I'm going to go with maybe. I'm going to go with maybe we follow up on this fucking lead.
Okay, there's a scene, I know we're jumping a little ahead, but where Goggins is like walking around the property, like looks into a shack, and he just sees hundreds of shoes piled in the center and some hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah,
he's like, huh. These guys should have a garage sale or something. Like, you are the worst cop ever.
I like it. That's like the same thing. Do you think people like went to like when they like freed Dachau like in World War II? They're like, they see the giant thing of clothes like, these Nazis should have a yard sale. Am I right? Am I right, Walter?
What's with all these shoes? I hope these aren't war crimes.
So The cops head straight for the farm. Otis goes and tells Mama. Mama goes and tells Otis about the situation. He gives her a gun and tells her to play nice downstairs. Meanwhile, Officer Wydell heads in while the other two, Grandpa and Walter Goggins, go to search around the place while he's in there. Mama puts on her white trashy charms the best way she knows how, just showing off some titties and doing her Karen Black thing. And the cop and the dad go to find that shed that you just mentioned. And as they're looking around, this music starts to play. And they open the shed, and it's just an array of dead bodies and one of the girls tied up in there. And they go to radio the sheriff to tell him about the horrors that they found, and she pulls out a fucking gun and just, boom, blows out the fucking sheriff's neck. And here's the call right here. Boom, he gets shot in the neck. And while this is happening, Otis comes out of the fucking trash heap from the side and then fucking pops a cap in the dad in the back, just shoots him dead, and then comes up behind Walter Goggins, who's just, I have a gun, but I'm immediately going to disarm myself and go on my knees now that there's a gunfight.
You can tell this is the part of the movie where Rob Zombie hit a wall, where he just lost Steve.
I think this is the part where he's like, this is all the movie was supposed to be, and then I got $13 million and decided to make a lot more of it.
Are we coming to the part where there's the... What, like,
yeah, this is the long pan out. So they do this ridiculously long pan out. Where...
I got angry. Yeah. Do you know how angry I got? I started yelling, are you fucking kidding me? At my, like, TV alone in my apartment. Like, that's how angry I got.
And it's just this pan out that takes, like, a good 45 seconds way too long, and the music finally stops, and then it's just silence. They're still panning out, and pop! Shoots Walter Goggins in the back of the head.
A lot of people compare this to the pan out scene in Chinatown.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It's exactly what I was
thinking.
This is
this is the part of the movie where you pause it and check how much more of the movie you have.
Yeah. Which you're in luck. Only 30 more minutes.
I'm going to get some more goddamn popcorn now. Make it through this bullshit.
So next we see old baby, a.k.a. Sherry Moon Zombie, head up to Red Hot Pussy Liquors, which is a clever name. Name.
It is a good name, but this entire scene is garbage.
It's not good. Except for this one line. I do like this one line. I think in a future intro I will put this into it. She says this little ditty here.
Well, you sure are buying a whole mess of holy water for two people.
Yeah, we like to get fucked up and do fucked up shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like to get fucked up too.
I don't know why. It's like, we like to get fucked up and do fucked up shit. I don't know why. I kind of like that. There's a little bit of charm to it.
Who's the comedian that sells the shirts with the little kitty cat on it? Was that Rob Mayer?
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
It's been a long time.
I don't even know.
Somebody sold t-shirts with a little cat on it that had Liquors on it or something.
Pussy Liquors?
Yeah.
It's clever. I like it.
I can't remember the name, though. I thought it was Rob Mayer.
Oh, that was probably Violet Gray. Violet sells the Pussy Liquor shirt.
Yes.
My co-host
at the Ren Fest.
At the Ren Fest. Yes.
Also,
yes.
I love how Sherry Moon decided to wear assless jeans to go pick up liquor.
It's a bold choice. I got to go to the liquor store. Yeah. I'm like, Mom, I'll put on these. I need to put on my lady clothes. So the gang heads back with a whole fucking batch of liquor, and Otis comes down in his Halloween costume, which is basically Denise's dad's skin that he's completely taken off of her dad.
Yeah.
And he's just completely looks like her dad now.
That's some Ed Gein shit. That was all about.
Do we have a clip of the things he says?
Yeah, I have a little bit of it.
I'm the one who loves you when you're fucking dead.
That other clip.
I don't have the one before that when he comes down.
You don't have the clip when he talks about, you know, was my life worth living and everything?
No, I don't have that. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't rip that. I didn't think it was super important. Right. But he just plays mind games and they all keep chanting, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? And he goes in to kiss her and
good idea to be prancing around where you don't belong.
sticks his tongue through the fucking thing. It's pretty cool.
Rusher of fools. What was it you were after? Come on, speak to me, boy. Oh, I remember now. Dr. Satan. God damn it, everybody got to know about Dr. Satan. You know what I'm gonna do, boy? I'm gonna do you a favor. I'm gonna let you meet the old bastard.
It's all true. The boogeyman is real. And you found him.
Boss.
Ooh. You know what they say? You know, you can't really get to know a person until you walk a mile in their face.
That is what they say. That is what they say.
See, what I love about that is he's wearing the dad's face, but also his chest, because
the whole torso.
Needed a matching human vest to go with the mask. He was accessorized.
He was actually, I know this took place in the 70s, but he's actually a real big Simpsons fan, and he loved that Mr. Burns song, "See My Vest, See My Vest, It's Made Out of Your Dad's Chest." Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's such a great song.
So they
Quality Time Idea, a musical about the great American serial killers.
I'm in. Yep. I'm in.
All right.
Murder House. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So they take the three remaining survivors, which is Fat Hardwick and the two girls, all dressed in rabbit suits, to a giant wooden door to the ground. And as they open it up, they basically have this giant coffin to lower them down into Dr. Satan's dark abyss below. One of the girls makes a run for it, and old baby says that she'll take it. And it's this kind of surreal scene where Otis just keeps yelling, "Run, rabbit!
Run, rabbit! Run! Run, rabbit!"
Sherry catches up with her and just stabs the shit out of her multiple times.
This is also my favorite Pink Floyd song.
And then takes the knife and just starts licking the blood off of it. And just being just a hot chick that likes to, you know.
Stab anytime I see blood. Somebody lick a knife after stabbing somebody, I always want to be like,
I'm like, I can't jerk off in this theater. This is ridiculous, right? That's usually.
That's how they got Pee Wee Herman, man. You can't be doing that shit.
Sir, Mr. Herman, is it true that on March the 5th, 1992, you were jerking off to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Two. Is this true or false, Mr. Herman?
Like the fifth time I got kicked out of like one of those porn theaters.
Okay, the fifth time. All right. I am all in.
It was great because I always get up there. I always get the dick out on the stage. I always start masturbating.
Okay.
But unknown to them, it was only a fake dildo when I cut off the dick. And the blood went everywhere.
And then you said it was performance art, and you got a grant after that.
So we're into the thick of what is the biggest problem with this movie, called the third act in general. And
this makes no goddamn sense.
They place the final two survivors into a coffin and lower them down into the cavern. And as they lower them down, a tape recorder is also lowered down with some weird chanting and incoherent fucking Aramaic that's like blaring through this horrible tape recorder. I guess trying to like evoke ideas of the Evil Dead and stuff that.
It's actually Prairie Home Companion is slowed down.
This is Prairie Home Companion chopped and screwed.
Where the men are always smart, the children good looking. And everyone above them.
Yeah, what you didn't know is if you play Prairie Home Companion backwards, you hear Hail Satan.
So
now it's time to sing a song of the olden times. I am not retarded.
So they lower this down.
I am the lead singer for Accept. Balls to the wall.
They lower the coffin down into stopping just before a pool of water, and the dead start to come to life from all sides, which makes no sense at all.
Yeah, so
rip apart this coffin.
How are they connected to Satan? Why are there zombies?
We don't know. We're just accepting it at this point.
I don't want to. I want to know things.
Blame the budget. It's the budget's fault.
That's all.
They gave him $14 million to be like, hey, we don't like the ending of this movie. Can you do something else that makes sense? He's like, fuck that. Doubling down on the crazy shit.
Can you just add zombies to this scene?
I gotta be
honest. We give you as much money as you want.
Rob, I loved the movie. It's very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-esque. You thought about ending a pit of zombies to this thing, or what? Or no? Okay. You do what you want to do.
Rob, what if one of the zombies is now special powers? Special powers.
Whoa! Don't bury the lead. So,
Rob, you look like a cowboy that got hit in a crystal meth explosion. So we're just gonna trust you here.
What if one of the gremlins is actually a spider, or an electrified gremlin? You also have a tranny gremlin and the smart gremlin.
So, this coffin gets ripped apart by the undead, and one of them drags Chris Hardwick off. The girl is able to escape as she goes deeper into the cavern. She then comes face to face with an old man. She pleads for help when some other freaks come out of the wall and then rip her costume off, revealing that she's for some reason dressed as Alice in Wonderland underneath, which also isn't explained at all. God, which is, by the way, our second movie in a row where we've had a girl dressed as Alice in Wonderland. If you go back previously to our last episode, Night of Demons, also another girl dressed as Alice in Wonderland in a movie that makes very little sense.
Oh, we get it. You read Lewis Carroll?
Ooh, you read books. Way to go, nerd.
You mean movies actually come from books? So another thing that really upsets me is this whole thing in the movie. It's like, no, there is no house. It's actually underground caverns of 1,000 corpses.
That is true. Specify that. Jeremy?
Should it be called Bunker of 1,000 Corpses?
Bunker of 1,000 Corpses. Crawl space of 1,000 corpses.
Studio apartment of 1,000 corpses. Okay, I took that too far.
So meanwhile, up top, Otis returns, but Otis actually looks fucking cool. I will give you this. Otis,
yeah, this is
looks
where,
badass.
This is when the movie becomes like a ghost music video.
Yeah! It's yes, I actually have him in my notes right here. I said he looks like the lead singer from Ghost in full priest garb, face painted, and our last survivor ventures further into the cavern while this is happening.
I wanted that movie. I want him as Ghost, like just doing all the satanic shit. That would have been great.
Which is also never explained in the next movie about why he's just like, oh, I'm a satanic priest, no big deal.
It's like most
right?
Satanists I meet where they're like, I love Satan. You're like, you work at Petco.
Ooh, look at this. Cool dog treat from hell.
You're just
blessed in Satan's cauldron.
You're just the next level of atheist asshole.
So
maybe you'd like to learn more about Satan after I take you to Housewares.
Oh, that's a good bit.
Would you like a popcorn maker?
I want to do, that's a good bit. Satanist that works at Petco. That's a good bit. So she finally comes to some double doors and opens them up, and it reveals this weird shrine of bones, which I don't know if this was intentional or if it was just made like this, but if you look at this little bone altar that's built in this scene of the movie, it is very, very eerily similar to Jeffrey Dahmer's thing that he made. Jeffrey Dahmer has this schematic of a bone altar he wanted to make, and it actually looks exactly like that. I don't know if that was intentional or not. I've done zero research. I just looked at it. I was like, that looks like Jeffrey Dahmer's sketch that he did of the bone altar that he wanted to make from all of his people that he killed.
My Friend Dahmer?
No, is it good though?
It's good.
Is it awesome?
Check it out. Okay. It's worth a
that
watch.
That is so sad that Jeffrey Dahmer didn't live to see this, and he'd be like, my bone altar!
Finally!
Yeah!
I knew one day. Do you think he would watch it? No, he did live long enough to possibly see this. Do you think he watched House of 1,000 Corpses and like, finally, sweet Rob Zombie brought it to life?
He probably would have been pissed. They're like, hey Jeff, you see this? Like that thing you showed us is in there. Oh, god damn it. Gotta copyright this shit.
I drank so many country clubs.
I'm sure they showed House of 1,000 Corpses in jail right next to that rape film. So
yeah.
Should we show the prisoners?
I don't
the rape
know
film?
How the prison system works.
So This another set of doors then opens up again, and we see the bizarre Dr. Satan, who is like, Dr. Satan is working on Chris Hardwick, but he also has these weird mechanical arms. Like, he's basically, all right, like, so you know Forrest Gump's magic legs, but he has that all over his body. All over.
What was it? There was a couple of years ago this movie came out, Frankenstein's Army.
Yeah.
It's okay. Very that, it's just this weird, like, zombie with mechanical augmentations. And I'm just like, okay, so you're in the ground, you have cutting edge medical equipment that you're performing experiments on, but you're in bumfuck nowhere Texas. Somebody would know.
Let's all be grateful that Dr. Satan never figured out arc reactor technology, because let's face it, he has the wherewithal and the skill to make something horrible.
Such a waste of a good villain.
Then all of a sudden we get to meet one of Dr. Satan's other creations as he's doing open brain surgery to Fatwick. Dr. Satan's creations comes down the steps, and it's basically Red Skull meets the Terminator meets the worm from fucking Dune. Like, it's just this weird fucking wet looking Hulk that comes down wielding an axe.
It's like this became Resident Evil later or something.
Which
I'm pretty sure is Daddy that sets Tiny on fire, you know?
Yeah, do you think so? That was Daddy?
Yeah, it looked exactly like that.
Okay.
He had goggles.
So,
nothing makes sense in this movie.
So this thing comes down, and it has robot noises. And comes down and crashes the axe through the door, because this lady is easily able to evade this very slow-moving monster's thing. She then walks down the hallway trying to escape. Now, up top, Otis is still reading some very cool satanic verses. I'm pretty sure it's actually just he's just reading the lyrics to all of Boston's albums, but in like a cool voice more than anything. And in the tunnels, our final survivor tries to make her escape when the Red Skull fucking Hulk comes down. He clumsily swings again and takes out a support beam, causing the cave to collapse on top of him, and for the time being, she's safe, right?
The Deus Ex Machina beam.
Yeah. So, daylight comes, and she awakens in the dark cave, crawling her way through the rubble. She makes her way to the surface, and it's completely unexplained, this route that she takes out of. It's just through the hay.
It's just field. Then her head pops up. I was like, that...
Oh, I just crawled out of this loose part of the dirt that has hay on top of it. Who's planting grass here? There's so many questions I have about what's happening.
Why are there so many holes in the field? Mind your own goddamn business.
Shut up, Ma. Put some hay down. I already told you that's what grows grass.
And right up behind her comes Charles Bronson and Steve McQueen and John Goodman. You know,
everybody who crawls out from the dead. She slowly walks towards the highway, and a Chevy convertible comes to pick her up, and it's none other than our boy, Captain Spaulding.
Sweet baby Jesus, girl, what the hell happened to you?
I got away.
You? Hey, I recognize you. Oh, there's a whole bunch of people been looking for your ass, girl.
I gotta get to a doctor.
All right. Just sit back and relax. I'll get you to a doctor.
And as she lays down,
she
closes her eyes.
At least he's listening to something religious.
And we see sweet Otis pop up with Hugo Stieglitz in the back. And we know that she's being returned back to the house of 1,000 corpses. And she wakes up, she's back on Dr. Satan's table getting operated on. And that,
so
I gotta be honest
questions.
With you, not a great idea.
That
got money, don't listen to The Cure. Got money.
And then it ends the movie with quite possibly the worst cover of Play That Funky Music, White Boy that I've ever heard.
Is that Sherry Moon making those noises?
Black is your soul. I'd rather die than see Dr. Satan.
Oh, it's Brick House. I'm sorry. Not Play That Funky Music.
Sorry, they had those little machinery sounds from whatever that band is.
Jeremy, if you were to make a different song ending, what would you call it?
Maybe It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. What?
Didn't you make a special ending song?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have a song. Yeah. This is the alternate song to the movie that they didn't put into it because mine was better.
Okay, let's just check this out.
Yeah.
What's the matter, kids? Don't you like clowns? Why don't we make you laugh? Are we fucking funny? You best come up with an answer, because I gotta come back here and check on you and your mom and see if you got a reason to hate clowns. I'm gonna kill your whole fucking family. What's the matter, kid? Don't you like clowns? Don't we make you laugh? Are we fucking funny?
Please tell me you're putting together a quality time album of just all these.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the year, we do the music only episode.
Nice.
It's going to be called English Garden from Hell.
This isn't bad, Jeremy.
Very Iron Maiden with the bass.
We have 20 seconds left, and I'm already excited. I know it's going to be some ridiculously long ending.
Nice.
That's the ending.
Oh,
that's
nice, Jeremy. Okay, cool.
All righty.
Well, yeah,
I could have had
like
a funny noise.
I do like clowns. Well, that brings us to an end of House of a Thousand Corpses, guys. We did it. Thank you so much.
That was challenging.
It was. It was fun, though. We had a good time.
I had a great time.
I had to do something for Sid Haig. That was my lame-ass tribute to him. So.
Okay. Well, that was... Listen, I'm sure he's looking down from heaven and not listening to that. I'm sure that's...
Quality time? What the fuck is that?
The fuck is this bullshit? I didn't die and go to this goddamn place to listen to people write shitty songs about me.
I was at Coffee. You remember that?
We have done the movie Coffee, which is it's a great app.
Do you remember him in Sledgehammer? Or
I do.
Robo?
I want a cookie. I do remember
the Hammeroid episode. Yes.
Hammeroid. Eric, give people one more time where they can find you and all that shit.
You can catch me all over the DMV. I do a monthly show at Atlas Brewworks called Funny Bones. It's a dog-friendly metal comedy show. You can bring your dogs, drink some good beer, and see some awesome comedians perform.
And soon to feature Eric Woodworth, I think. I think I'm going to be up there.
Yeah, we're going to get that in the works. And
fuck
you
yeah.
can also, if you're not into hearing me talk, you can check out my art at Lord of Dagtown. That's D-A-G.
Dag.
T-O-W-N.
Yeah, dude, Eric was showing us some of his shirts. They're actually pretty dope. So if you guys, Quality Timers, hop on there, buy a fucking shirt from Eric Kucharavi. He actually has some really cool designs. He's wearing one right now. It's actually One Punch Man dressed as a cholo, and it says Simon, which is, I guess, okay?
Okay. If you want a shirt where it is Trump and Putin as leather daddies holding a chain, my site is the place to go to.
And who doesn't want that? I mean,
not a lot
do.
Of people, actually. Looking at my sales, not a lot.
Let's turn that around.
Will it work with my MAGA hat?
Definitely. You want to be the most conflicting dressed human being in the world?
Do you
go
want people
it.
To question what you think at all times? Then go to Eric Kucharavi's site and buy some fucking cool ass shit, man. No, he has some really cool designs. So seriously, guys, do us a favor, support the people who support this show, and go on there and hop on there and buy yourself one of those goddamn t-shirts. They're good quality. They hug the sides.
They hug my boy bosoms so nicely, and they're so soft.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just gonna be walking around with your titties out. You'll look like an idiot.
Yeah, you're gonna look like a goddamn monster.
Buy an Eric Kucharavi original. You can
that is at Lord of Dagtown.
Lord of Dagtown. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. I got my comedy special. It's very close to dropping, guys, so some details are coming out about that soon. I'm gonna need your help with that. You can catch the Second Saturday Shit Show, which is free every second Saturday of the month, at the Auto Bar, hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. Now, we got a fucking live show coming up for the Ellicott Silly Comedy Festival. Dates are dropping. Hop on our Facebook page to find out where that shit is at. Jeremy is doing some shit. He has a new job. Who knows if he's fired or not, but take this out, dude.
to be or not to be. That is the question. But it is nobody matters to think the devil, and it's not a religious fortune.